Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
When you are rejected, I looked up the word rejection in the Oxford Dictionary, and it said not to love, to fail to give a person or an animal enough care or attention. A reject is something that cannot be used or sold because there's something wrong with it. A reject is something that cannot be used or sold because there's something wrong with it. And to reject means not to love, to fail to give a person or an animal enough care or attention. So even animals go through rejection. The word rejection is from the Greek word atetheo. It means to disesteem, to neutralize, to put down. When you think the person has failed the test, worthless, to put as of no value, to act towards anything as though it were not profitable. Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for sending your son Jesus. Thank you that we are complete in him. This evening I pray for utterance, Lord. I pray for an understanding of your word. I pray that strongholds will be broken. I pray that demonic holds will be broken. I pray that your people will be set free from every form of oppression. I ask for healing and for a new beginning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Are we there? Not yet. I think I'm going to be brief because the time is fast. Then Isaiah 53. Reading from verse 1. Who hath believed our reports? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Hallelujah. The Bible is talking about Jesus Christ. And it's saying that who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Because when they looked at Jesus Christ in the natural, he didn't seem to be anything that will amount to anything, or to be anything that will be of value, or something to be treasured, or something to be loved and wanted. The Bible says that for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, not as a big strong tree, but as a tender plant. As a root out of a dry ground. You know, when you are a root in the dry ground, you don't go far because you are not, the moisture is not enough. You are not watered and you are like a root out of dry ground. It means that you can perish at any time. He has no form nor comeliness. To be comely is to be beautiful, to be attractive, to be wanted, to be esteemed. The Bible says that he has no form nor comeliness. If you have a form, we know what you are. We know what you are made out of. But if you have no form, and some of us, we have low self-esteem because we think we have no form. We feel that our waist and our everything has joined together. So we have no form. Nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. So when he came, he wasn't something to write home about in the natural. And he wasn't something that, you know, when something is beautiful, everybody gravitates towards it. When something is beautiful, the person receives a lot of accolades, appreciation, whatever. But this one, he has no form of comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Some of you think, I'm not getting married because I am not beautiful. But it's a lie from the enemy. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He wasn't somebody that when he came, we thought that, oh, some great person has come. We hid our faces. We were embarrassed by the way he looked. We were embarrassed by his form. So we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs. The reason why he was not looking nice was because he was carrying your griefs. The reason why he was not looking nice was because he had been struck with all our diseases. And therefore he couldn't look strong and well. The reason why he didn't look nice was because he had undergone all the surgery we have to undergo to have a contorted and twisted face. And yet we didn't see beyond that. We just saw him and we said, this thing is nasty. It's not nice. He doesn't have comeliness. He has no beauty. We don't even want him. But the Bible says, surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was full of sores. He looked like a maimed person. He looked disabled. He didn't look together. And was all for our sakes. He was acquainted with grief. When somebody is your acquaintance, you know the person fairly well. And Jesus Christ was acquainted with grief. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. All the emotional problems were upon him. Your peace was being chastised, laid upon him. And so he didn't look nice. And many of us women, we suffer from the spirit of rejection. And we look for acceptance from our friends, from our husbands, from our families. Some of you, when you wear your clothes and your husband doesn't say that you look nice, you don't care if the whole world says you look nice. You just don't feel that you look nice. And you can even get obsessed about it. You know, when I was going out with him, he always used to say, I look nice. These days, he doesn't even notice. When I wear anything, he doesn't notice. Lady pastor, why? Sometimes he has bad taste. Doesn't. Sometimes too. And often, he has just sunk into the usual monotony of life. He cannot tell you every day that you look nice. But you should be able to look in the mirror and say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. Some of us, we look for love from people we think we have given love to, and we feel that they should love us back. Like maybe children and parents, you know? A parent feels, I'm giving my love to my child. Or a child feels, I want love from my parents, but I'm not getting that kind of love. And so the spirit of rejection begins to feed on us. And we start to look for approval in all the wrong places. And one thing about the spirit of rejection is that sometimes when it becomes a stronghold, even when people are telling you, you look nice, say it's not true. They are just saying it. They don't have anything to say. They just want to say something nice. I don't think I'm nice. The greatest preacher in your life is yourself. And you are the one who can preach yourself good and come to the place where God wants you to be. Sometimes you come to a place and you greet people. They don't notice your presence. They don't mind you. They are busy chatting. Or you don't feel accepted there. And immediately your mood takes a dip. And you become sad. And that is the spirit of rejection. Many times when women are married and their husbands don't talk to them, it is not they're not talking, but what they're not talking means is that I am not important to you. And again, the spirit of rejection feeds on her, or feeds her needs to be accepted. And she says, oh, I am not nice to be with. That is why he doesn't chat with me. But he chats on the phone all the time. Because I am not nice to be with. Maybe my company is not that treasured, you know. Maybe he doesn't love me that much. After all, he even prefers another company to my company. That is why, and then you begin to minister to yourself. And you begin to feel very sad. But the reason is that he himself doesn't have enough wraps. And sometimes it's his way of getting away from issues. Because women always come and say, we need to talk. As soon as you say that, a man's antenna goes up. Talk about what? And a man wants to run through quickly whatever you say the difficulty is. They don't like to be brought to the UN negotiating table. And they don't like to be told 5 reasons why this and that and that. So you say, oh, okay, you have understood. I won't do that again. And you, the woman, you don't want it to happen again. So you say, no, let's go through it. So that you will and not do it again. And then when he does it again and he hasn't understood, you say, let me talk some more. Because more talk will bring more understanding. Wrong. It's not so. And we look for acceptance in the way other people treat us. We look for acceptance even in the church world. When you come and you sing and we don't applaud you, you don't feel like singing anymore. Every day we have to say, oh Beverly, what a blessing you are to the ministry. You really sang good. And if we forget to stroke your ego and to stroke what you have done and who you are, you will leave the ministry. You will not sing anymore because we are not feeding your need for acceptance. But every human being can find acceptance only in Jesus. There's no neediness that we have that can be fully compensated for by any human being. Because human beings have their limitations. They are human. There are times when they forget. There are times when they are absent-minded. There are times when they are caught up with their own problems. There are times when they are caught up with their own stresses. So they will not remember to tell you that your dress is nice, your this is that. So I tell the ladies who complain to me, I said, look, if it's not nice, he will tell you. So every time he doesn't say, assume that it's nice. Hallelujah. Amen. But we want acceptance. We are addicted, obsessed to be accepted by everybody, to be found nice by everybody. But if you have lived a bit long in this life, you will suffer rejection. Why? Because Jesus Christ himself went through rejection. He had no form nor comeliness. And there was no beauty that we should desire him. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Now, so how do we overcome this rejection? Rejection is a spirit. When Jesus Christ would come to minister, the people will wonder at his word. But after that, they'll say, "Is not this Joseph's son? Is not this the carpenter's son?" They'll start to call his pedigree and his background into question. And some of you, you measure your value and your worth by who your parents are, which money you have, whether your father is educated or not, whether your father has money or not. But these are things that are transient. And these are things that can never give you acceptance. Go and ask rich people who are looking for acceptance. Once I counseled the lady who to me is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in this world. And she told me, "Lady Pastor, I want to commit. I feel so ugly. I feel that I'm not nice." And I said, "Why do you allow the devil to lie to you?" And she began to tell me, "You see, when I was growing up, my mother used to tell me, you are a very bad girl. The way you are just like your father. Things will not end up well for you." So in spite of the outward beauty, she felt very ugly inside. And once you don't feel well inside, it will translate to everything. Later I heard that she had gone to the university and she was thinking of getting married. She was a basket case, complicated problem. And again, she was thinking of committing suicide. So somebody from the university brought her, not knowing that it was a case I had seen some years before. And I had told her that, look, acceptance will come from Jesus. And when people say it, it sounds like, oh, theory, Jesus, how? But Jesus is the one who heals us and makes us whole. You see, sometimes from your background, the way you are treated, you never feel you are worth anything. But do you know something? God deemed you valuable to send his son all the way to die for you. And even when we hear it, it's like a theory. But you see, God sees each and every one of us as an individual. That is why your fingerprint is just you. It's just you. You are unique, and he relates to you as an individual. He doesn't relate to you, "I'm just sharing salvation for everybody." No. The Bible says that even the hairs on our heads, they are numbered. Hallelujah. But whether we believe it, and so we have to speak to ourselves till we come to the place where we believe what God's word says. Many times, the reason why women cannot get over broken relationships is not because they want the man so much, but because the man's actions speaks to them that I'm of no value. That's why he went for another girlfriend. He went for another beloved, because I didn't measure up. Since when did man become your measuring rod? Since when did man become your scale? Since when did man become your barometer to determine who you are and of what value that you are? The Bible says, who is it that condemns? It is God who justifies. And we also measure our value by our sins and our mistakes. When we have had a good day and we feel that we have not sinned, we feel good before God. When we feel that we have messed up, we feel that our value has gone down. But the Bible says that when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When you hadn't even decided to give your life, he died for you. And so we are of more value. Jesus said, even the sparrows, they are sold for 2 pence. And yet I don't forget any of them. Even the grass, it is cut and put in the oven. And yet I clothe them. How much more you? How much more you? Amen. We measure our value by the things that have happened to us. So I'm a bad girl. If I was not a bad girl, this would not have happened to me. If I was not a bad girl, I would not be where I am today. The Bible says that he that is forgiven much, loves much. Hallelujah. So it's time to find deliverance from the spirit of rejection. And I just want to read quickly Ezekiel chapter 16. The Lord is talking to you women from there. And I pray that you will be delivered tonight. Now, rejection also leads you to wrong relationships, because you begin to look for love in all the wrong places. Because you say, I'm of no value. And so I'm now going to set out to make myself valuable. So anything that I have to do to be counted as valuable, I will do. Some of you are in very abusive relationships, But because you just want to feel needed, you want to feel wanted. So even if he beats me, Lady Pastor, I will still be around. Just so that I can psychologically tell myself that I'm owned by somebody. That I have somebody. Even if it's a sick relationship. But God has better things in store for us. Ezekiel chapter 16, reading from verse 4. Are we there? And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field, to the loathing of thy person, in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee, and covered thy nakedness. I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thine raiment was on fine linen and silk, embroidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. For it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put on thee, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God was saying that when you were born, even your umbilical cord was not cut. You were an abandoned child. You were left in the open field. Even the blood that came on you during labor was not washed. And in the olden days, they would wash you with salted water to make your skin tight and all that. But you were not washed with salted water. No, were you swaddled at all? They didn't put nice, soft cloth around you. There was nothing like that. None I pitied thee. To do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field. You were vulnerable. You were left to the elements. You didn't have any protection. Even motherly love, some of you didn't get. This is what happened to this baby in Ezekiel. You were just left as an abandoned child. Even care, changing of diaper, whatever. From the time you entered into the world, you were on your own. And you were not anything that was loved or cared for. Verse 6, and when I passed by thee and saw thee, polluted in thine own blood. Many of us, the pollutions that we have is in our own blood. It's our own making. Things that we have come to the Lord with, we are in our own blood already. And we have come with various pollutions, various broken lives, rejection from here and there. Sometimes you are in a step home and you are the outsider. You know, you have like mommy and daddy, and then you are the one who doesn't really belong. And he says, when are you going to your father? Are you going to your father this vacation? And you don't even understand as a child that your mother is in a very difficult situation. It's not that she wants to reject you, but she just doesn't know what to do. But in all those instances, God says that I passed by. When I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee when thou was in thy blood, live. When God says you should live, you will live. When God says you should live, it doesn't matter that you were polluted in your own blood. Once the word that cannot change has been spoken, you will live. The Bible says, because I live, you shall live also. Sometimes we don't see how we will live. How will we overcome this rejection? Lady Pastor, my husband doesn't treat me well, and you cry so much from the pain of rejection. You know, your husband doesn't spend time with you. He doesn't give you the necessary attention. And you feel so rejected. It's like a sword in you. Oh, how can that be? No. But when you come and look into the perfect law of liberty, the Bible says he has made us accepted in the beloved. Your husband himself is grappling with acceptance issues. He himself is grappling with his background issues. And he's seen ego battles in everything. When you say this, because you don't respect, you think that that is all low self-esteem. But it's coming in different ways. And then this person who has his own problems and is not together is the one you have made your God. You say, I worship you, give me acceptance. I worship you, make me whole. I worship you, meet all my needs. For you are great, you do miracles. Verse 7 says, I have caused thee to multiply as the bird of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great. It is God who does all these things. It's not by might nor by power. It is by the Spirit of God. And thou art come to excellent ornament. Thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Just Jesus Christ coming into our lives. I believe that that's why Paul prays that we will have revelation in the knowledge of him. Because I think most of us don't know what we have. And we don't even understand what Christ has done for us. Because the sin is too much. The carnality is too much. The flesh gets into the way of everything. And it's very difficult to have revelation on anything. But God is saying this evening that I passed by. You were in an open field. Then I spread my skirt over you. That is God's protection. Look at how far God has brought you all these years. Before you met your husband, you were a human being. You had a life. Hallelujah. You were happy. When you wore your clothes, you were happy. It doesn't have to change because you are married. And I always say to the husbands, we were very happy in our father's houses. So if you know that you are coming to worry any of the daughters, please leave them where they are. It is not when we have had acceptance, we have felt so happy, then when we met you, we began to develop rejection syndromes. It cannot be so. It is only because the Bible says our desire shall be unto our husbands and they will rule over us. But under the new covenant, the Lord says we should submit. And when you are confident in what Christ has made you, when you come to a room and they don't mind you, you are not intimidated because you know that you are a child of God. When you come, you say to yourself, I'm a child of God. I'm a new creature. This is the handiwork of God. I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that I should walk in them. As you are saying that before yourself, in yourself, you come with confidence. So when the people look somewhere, they haven't seen you. So, hi, Elaine, how is it? When they are ignoring you, you call them. Wait. Because you know who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. But when you don't know who you are, then you are looking around. Oh, why didn't Reverend mind me? Oh, why didn't the pastor mind me? How I wish that he would mind me. We all crave acceptance, but you will not get acceptance everywhere. Jesus Christ, they even sent him to the brow of the city that they want to cast him down headlong. He should not even live. When he was going to die and they asked, shall we give you Barabbas or Jesus? He said, give us Barabbas. When somebody else is chosen above you, you feel that the person is preferred and you feel rejected. Can you imagine the rejection Jesus Christ went through? But he had to tell himself that
It's not that Barabbas is more comely. It's not that Barabbas is more attractive. But it's the evil hearts of man that is doing that. So there are different reasons. For the reasons things are the way they are. But you are so stereotyped. Oh, they don't like me. I'm not a nice person. I am not a nice person to be with. And sometimes you even feel rejected by God. So, I did this and I did that and I did that. So, oh, God cannot love me, Lady Pastor. Every time I tell God, I promise I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to lose my temper. And then God just gets angry with me. God, I blow up and God must be angry with me. But the Bible says He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. You see, Abraham, he had a child with his maidservant. It's not that it is right. He told lies about his relationship with his wife and all that. But I believe that when we repent, God forgives. Because when we come and read the book of Romans, they say He's the father of faith. If He's the father of faith, why didn't He wait for the seed of promise? But He went to have something to do with Hagar. It's because faith is a walk, and like a toddler, you may fall sometimes. But when a toddler falls, we don't scream, "Why are you falling? Hey, get up and walk." But we rather encourage him. When we see the first step, we are excited. And even when it's wobbly, we cheer the toddler on. It's the same with God. He knows you are trying to walk. He knows your knees are wobbly. And He's encouraging you to keep walking on. Hallelujah. If you look at Lot, the Bible says that the people were catching him, holding his hand. He won't go. Every time he has another reason why they should. He had his daughters seduced him. He had children with them. He ended up in a cave, all that. When you come and read 2 Peter 2 verse 8, it says about Lot, that righteous man, in seeing and in hearing, vexed his righteous soul. So God, in the New Testament, bore witness about him that he was a righteous man. Why? Because God knows that faith, it's a journey, it's not a destination. And as you keep going, He knows that you will make it to the place where you are going. So it is not right to feel rejected because of your sin, because of a besetting sin. There are some sins that is our thing, you know. Bible says, lay aside every weight. And the sin, the definite article, it means that there's a particular sin. Everybody has the sin, you know, and that thing keeps tripping you. But God understands. He doesn't want you to give up. Especially when you have the heart. You want to please Him. But just that sometimes your humanness gets in the way. And so you do have to value yourself according to how good you are. Your goodness is like filthy rags before God. What God is looking for is a heart that loves Him. Because when you love Him, you will not even want to do something to hurt Him. And that is the place that we must all come to. Jesus Christ, the Bible says His brothers did not believe in Him. But when you go through rejection, you become a candidate that God can lift up. The Bible says that the stone that was rejected by the builders has now become the head of the corner. The Bible says that whenever the cornerstone was laid, there was rejoicing and a party. I'm here to tell you that if you were not a rejected stone, the builders would not have found you to make you the head of a corner. And if Jesus is the rejected cornerstone, and you are less than Jesus, or some of you are more than Him, and He was rejected, then how much more us? But one thing that kept Him going was that He knew who He was, He knew who His Father was, and He knew what God had made Him. The Bible says in John 30 that Jesus knew who He was, He knew where He was going. And that is why He was even able to relate to Judas coolly. Because He knew that His destiny was not in Judas's hands. His value was not 30 pieces of silver. It was more than that. May we come to the place where we look in God's word and see that we are valuable. If we don't see that we are valuable, then our relationships suffer. Because you get married, and because you didn't see you were valuable, you are looking for a son of Adam to give you value. To say you are 24 carats, you are 12, you are 18, and you are 9. But God says, I passed by you, and I said, live. And I covered you with my skirt, and I increased you, and I made you great. Lady Pastor, how do we practically know? You have to go to the Bible and look at it and know who you are in Christ. Many of us are too lazy to pay the price. Too lazy to listen to a tape. Too lazy to study our Bible. too lazy to look into the will and see what God has left us. We are too lazy. We spend all the time doing our hair, doing our nails, chatting on the phone. But the real thing that will make us whole and bring us real redemption, we don't look for it. And that is why even in the church, sometimes we are not driven by our love for God. We are driven to be in a position so that we will be recognized. And also so that we will feel that we are valuable, you know. And some of us look for value in our marriage. Oh, when I become Mrs. Dissing, then I will really be of value. And people will really respect me. But it's not true. What you are is what you are. You know? And if you have no value to yourself and in your eyes before you marry, it is not the Mrs. title. Or who you are married to. Oh, me, I'm the bishop's wife. You see, so I'm very special and I am more alive to the fact that I'm a child of God than to the fact that I'm a bishop's wife. It is a blessing to be a bishop's wife. But that is not what gives me my significance. I know that before I was even conceived of by my mother in my mother's womb, the Lord knew me. And He gave me a destiny. He called me. He ordained me. And whatever God has in me, it will come to pass. Because the Lord knew me before I became anything. Hallelujah. And so you are of value. God has ordained something for you. You are a child of destiny. There is a purpose in you that must be unleashed. And the spirit of rejection must not block it. Always remember that Jesus went through the rejection so that you will be accepted. You are accepted in the beloved. You are accepted by Christ. Don't let divorce, a broken relationship, make you feel that I'm nothing. Don't look at your physical self and say, I am not beautiful. You look in the mirror and say, I don't like my nose. I don't like my this. I was watching a documentary. People who had done plastic surgery were being interviewed. And they were all very depressed. They said, oh, initially we felt great, but now we are depressed. I said, why? I said, because we realize that it's really on the inside and not on the outside. And I said, oh, I knew that long ago. Because Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. May the glory of the Lord shine upon us. It is God who glorifies us. When God calls us, He doesn't just leave us mediocre, simple, be there. The Bible says, whom He justified, He also glorified. May the glory of God on your life rise now. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen up amongst us. Amen. Okay, now can I have the questions?
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.